So I'll put this over by you, Susan, so you can continue with your presentation.
Thank you. Okay, so the governments, both provincial and federal government, soon realized that this watertight compartment view is not going to be practical, or is turning out to be impractical, especially with the enlargening of welfare state after the World War II and the economic depression, where people were demanding more services or were relying on the government for services. And as a result, the watertight compartments became, or the jurisdictions became more intertwined, where the different levels of governments began providing services that were in each other's jurisdictions. And the governments relied on a complex mix of cooperation and coordination to do this. And this was an informal process in the sense that institutions and procedures that were involved in the coordination process was not set in constitution or was not set out in any law. So it was informal in that sense. And the agreements, although clarified roles and priorities for action, it had no legal status. Also, I should mention that because of this cooperation and coordination that needed to happen, it was the first ministers or premiers and cabinet ministers that had common responsibilities began on a regular basis to negotiate these agreements, usually behind closed doors. And so this era of cooperation was also referred to as executive federalism, which is interesting. So that's, I think that's 4 minutes. I didn't want to go too much. But some of the questions I wanted to pose to you are, what do you think are some of the benefits of concurrent responsibilities, and what are some of the concerns of moving forward with this approach?
That's a great presentation, Sudha. Just thank you so much, and let's give you a hand for being the first person. That is just terrific. So one thing I just wanted to emphasize from your presentation is that this 9213, I hope that's impressed in your mind now, you'll never forget 9213, property and civil rights. Monahan refers to that as civil rights, meaning legal rights of all kinds. Another way of thinking of it is private law rights, private law rights. So more so private law rights than the kinds of human rights that we think of today. That's what it was thought of in 1867. So private law rights includes the whole area of private law. In other words, regulation of business, regulation of the professions, laws that regulate the interpersonal relations, business relations, and so on. So it's a huge, huge field. And the JCPC, as Monahan points out, interpreted that very, very broadly. And they interpreted peace, order, and good government very narrowly because it was easier to do it that way. Monahan says it was easier for the court to come up with what he called bright line rules to say, well, this is federal, this is provincial. They interpreted the BNA Act as an ordinary statute, using the rules of ordinary statute interpretation, rather than thinking of it as a constitution. And you've all read the Constitution Act 1867, used to be called the BNA Act. It does read like